Today, in the first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, we have the presentation of what in the biblical tradition is called the Ten Words. Not the Ten Commandments, though that's a fine word. The Ten Words of God. And these are, probably go back to Moses. It's an enormous charismatic moment when, by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, this person set forth the ten basic responsibilities of what it means to be human. You notice it's not a list of our rights, it's a list of our responsibilities. Because you see, our whole life is response. We're created. We're saved. We're given mercy. Other people surround us. And the basic movement of the human heart is response, not claim. This changes just about the very foundation of our cultural attitudes. We have a right to this, have a right to this, have a right to this, right to this. The most confusing concept in philosophy is right. And yet it's the thing, I got a right, I got a right, I got a right. From where? Our constitution begins there. All men have the right to life. You see, it's deeper than the right is the responsibility. The need to be human by responding. First to God, and then to each other. The right is in the other person. This, the confusion in this is enormous, you see. Homosexuals who want to live together have a right to be married, have a right to all the taxes, have a right, have a right, have a right. Why? Where does it come from? All rights come from God. And the way to live out our rights is through the exercise of responsibility. So we have here this text, which is placed right at the center of the book of Exodus, with a parallel in the book of Deuteronomy, very closely parallel. And I just, in the time that we have, which isn't enormous, I just thought it would be worth meditating on some of these. First, what's the foundation for this whole relationship? God's initiative. God's saving love. I am Adonai, your God. I, Adonai, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. The foundation of all of this is God's saving initiative. Now, in response to my saving initiative and my creation, I created you, I saved you. The interesting thing is, and this runs through the whole Bible, God, as our infinite, all-powerful creator, could say, this is it. But he doesn't. He grounds what he expects of us on his saving mercy, both here and in the New Testament. Everything our Lord tells us to do is grounded on what? The act of love in which he died for us. And so it's response. And that's important. Therefore, the motive for all of this is gratitude. Obedience in the Christian life comes from gratitude. The more real God's saving acts are in our own spirit, the more obedient we are, because we want to respond to God. And so, I, Adonai, your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. And now, the very first response. You shall not have other gods besides me. Literally, you shall not have other gods, al panai, out there in my face. There is no other God. There is no other God. All of this is summed up in the prayer that's recited three times a day. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohecha, Adonai Echad. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God is one. Only Adonai is God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And you shall teach it to your children. And you shall remember this when you walk and when you lie down, and when, because the heart of all of it is that God is God. Now, we live in the first atheistic civilization in the history of the world. Not everybody's worshiped the one true God, but they worship somebody in their groping after God. For us, we're it. Kind of frightening. Nietzsche, you know, was the one who declared the death of God. He was smarter than most of those who followed him. He said, now the world is unchained, it's floating, it's, you know, it's terrifying. He was smart. Only God. See, idolatry is making something else an ultimate. Money, power, revenge, whatever. Making something else an ultimate. Whereas, you see, if we reflect, you know, not who created us, who got us out of Egypt? See, this is the foundation. And the motive for responding to these words is gratitude. Which means that if we reflect on who we are, you see, and stop worrying about our rights, we enter into a world of beauty, of freedom, of joy, of love. Because God brings us there. So that's then expanded in the text. You know, don't carve idols, don't do all these things, right? And then I punish to the fourth, but I bestow mercy to the thousandth generation. If you are obeying me, if you are trusting me, I promise you for 1,000 generations I'll look after your children. Count that out now. 1,000 generations. If a generation is 40 years, at 40,000 years, I will look after your children. Unless they turn from me. The second one, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God, Lishav, in vain. For the Lord will not leave unpunished those who take his name in vain. What does that mean? God damn it. That's not a happy thing to say, but it's much deeper than that. It means that I invoke the name of God on what I want to do. The name of God. The precious expression of who God is, which he's given us. Given us so that we can talk to him, know who he is. And I invoke that name to guarantee my lie. And it can be in court. It can be anywhere. I invoke the name of God, Lishav. Lishav means unto nothingness. The name of God. Unless we're part of God's people, we don't even know the name of God. It's given to us. Knowing who to turn, how to speak, to whom do we address ourselves? The name of God. To take that name, which God has put into human language for our sake, as the guarantee for our lives. You see? What is our response to knowing the name is to treasure that name, to call on that name, to praise that name, to praise God every day. And not to take that name, Lishav. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath. Remember to keep holy. Shabbat. Why Shabbat? Why Sabbath? Well, for those who love God, He wants it. That's enough. God, my Father, wants it. Fine, we'll do it. I love Him. I want to do what pleases Him. See, that's when we start to mature, to want to do the good pleasure of our Father. Now, remember when we did our moral theology in Rome, and there's a great theological question, whether it's always more important or better to do the more perfect thing. Or, you know, whether you can do a good thing, but not the most perfect thing, you know. And so, arguments been going on for centuries. And our professor would set them up one by one, these arguments, and they'd knock them down. They were all pious and, you know, and bingo. And we're all young, hard-headed theologians, you know. Vive the hard head, forget the piety, you know. So he's going along like that, and he's very bright, an old Spaniard. And then on the last, we did this for about three lectures. On the last lecture, he said, "But there's one other consideration. Friendship. We have an obligation to follow the preferences of our friend. If this is what God prefers, then we have a duty as friends to do it." Silence in the whole class. Whoop. It is better always to try to do God's preference. Not that the other is a sin, but where's love? Where's friendship? You see? Shabbat. God wants this. Well, why? So that we can imitate God? So that we can learn that we're not the center of the universe, that if we stop pushing, it's still going to turn? God is in charge. And to worship Him, rejoice in Him, and realize that my identity and my reality and the whole reality of the world doesn't depend on what I do, but on what I receive, on what I admire and what I praise. It's so precious. When, in this atheistic world we live in, what's the first thing that goes? Any idea of a Shabbat. You don't believe me? Go up to the malls. Shabbat. I mean, nowadays they have basketball games or soccer games and, you know, on Sunday morning. No respect. Even if you don't want to worship God on Sunday, get out of the way so others can. Don't insist that these kids come and play whatever. What's happened to it? Worship God, love God. Know who He is. You see, responsibility. I respond to God who's created me and saved me by directing my attention to Him and caring for my family. Not making more money. Having more power. You see how we've only got through the first three. But I'd invite you to, you know, start to meditate on these things. Huh? The bridge between God and our neighbor is this commandment: honor your father and your mother. And everything hinges on that. Honor your father and your mother. Which means I honor you for being my father. I honor you for being my mother. And I respect you. Now, they may have hurt you, they may have been evil to you, but they are still your father and your mother, and you still should honor them. God told you to. See the idea that this is obedience? We never think of it. The saints do. This is just the way God wants it. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. God wants this? Fine. The lack of honoring of parents is the source of most mental illness. But you see what happens to us? Aha, now we have an empirical reason for doing this. So we ought to do it. And you see what happens to it? It makes sense to me, so I'm going to do it. I'd rather do that than be mentally ill. Well, that's intelligent. But that's not relating to God. You see, no matter what else is wrong with me, and all the things I got to figure out where I come from, ultimately, I come from God. And if that relationship is okay, I'm okay. A little bit messed up here, a little bit messed up there, but I'm okay. Just meditate on these 10 words and all that God has given us in these words. They are, you know, as one commentator said, now we have all the you shall not, you shall not, you shall not, right? He says, look, all that is the boundaries. Outside the boundaries, there's non-humanity. Inside the boundaries, there's humanity. Live inside the boundaries and be free. You don't commit adultery, because if you do, you fall into death. And you destroy yourself and another human being. That's non-human. Trust me. I say don't do it, don't do it. So it's like the boundaries. You go beyond that, you fall into oblivion, into darkness, into don't do it, trust me. We should pray for this, shouldn't we? Can you imagine when Jesus read these words, how his heart was filled with love, gratitude, light, praise. My Father has told us how to live.